Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, August 4th. We've got lots of news to get through today, including bosses in Kent calling for a tougher stance on fly tipping.
We need better enforcement, better regulations. I mean, we need that guidance to the judges they can work within. Improved.
A man from Dymchurch tells us how he's been chased out of his home by black mould and is now being chased by council for the bill.
It's stressful. It is very stressful. I suffer with anxiety anyway. And it's caused sleepless nights.
And we'll hear from a Kent food bank about the demand they're seeing this summer holidays.
Last month, we saw a 30% increase on emergency parcels for children. That's 30% year on year.
All of that is still to come, so do stay with us. But first, let's take a look at our top story today. Two men have been told by a judge, your summer is ruined, after they were caught up in what's been described as a shameful street brawl in Margate. The violence broke out near the Aldi in Cliftonville in June 2024 between two rival groups. Now, there is a lot to unpack here, so Lucy's joined us with some more details. Luce, can we start with just an overview of the brawl?
This all unfolded in Sandhurst Place behind Aldi on the evening of June 27th in 2024. It involved Gianni Birch, who rented a flat from Henry Fowler. The two men became involved in a dispute and were seen shouting at each other outside the property over missed belongings. Witnesses say a number of family members were also there, and when the brawl erupted, one woman was knocked unconscious and another man was hit with a golf club. Both Birch and Fowler also sustained injuries and were taken to the QEQM hospital for treatment.
Now, it was described as a serious public disorder in court, and both men later pleaded guilty to a fray. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Birch originally told police he'd been on the phone to his mother when the brawl started and went to help with no knowledge of who the other people were, while Fowler gave a no-comment interview, but both did later plead guilty to a fray.
And when handing down his sentence, the judge said the purpose was to ruin their summer evening so they can reflect when all of their friends are going out.
Yes, both men received a 12-month community order, which includes a tagged curfew lasting for 6 weeks. It'll be in place between 5pm and 3:30am each day, and they'll be required to stay indoors. 43-year-old Fowler, who lived in Sandhurst Place, was also ordered to undertake up to 20 rehab activity requirements. 27-year-old Birch, who lives in Folkestone Road in Maxton, near Dover, was also told he needed to engage better and grow up.
Thanks, Lucy. Two others involved in the disorder that night were dealt with by magistrates and received community orders with unpaid work requirements. A third received a caution. You can read the full report by clicking on the story on the homepage at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today. A Surrey man has admitted causing death by dangerous driving following a fatal crash in Stockbury. 16-year-old Alicia Ponta was killed when the car she was a passenger in hit a barrier and overturned on the A249 in February 2024. The 19-year-old driver, Lincoln Connors, from Balcombe Road in Hawley, will remain in custody until he's sentenced next month. A man in his 80s has died after a car crashed into a tree in Hythe. The blue Ford Fiesta was travelling along the A261 London Road when the collision happened just before 6:30 yesterday evening. Police are keen to speak to any witnesses. Bosses in part of Kent are calling for tougher sentences for fly tipping after a man responsible for dumping hazardous waste walked free from court. Jamie Broadmoor was taken to court following an investigation into an illegal tip between Rootham Road and Hog Lane in Northfleet. The 41-year-old from Elaine Avenue in Strood was given a suspended sentence in order to do 100 hours of unpaid work. Gravesham Borough Council leader John Burden isn't happy.
We're here at Hog's Lane, which is due south of the A2 in the Greenbelt of Gravesham, just north of Isard Rise. We're here because this was the site of a large-scale industrial fly tipping that took place on this site. The person who committed this crime that we had to take enforcement action against in April 2022, Jamie Broadmoor, who lives in Strood, unfortunately committed this crime, and we've had to take action against him. That action went to court earlier this year, and he got a sentence. The sentence, unfortunately, we feel was too light. The judges themselves are bound by the rules that they have to comply with in the way of sentencing guidelines, and we accept that. However, it cost us as an authority, Gravesham Borough Council, about £5,000 to take him to court. It cost National Highways over £150,000 to clear the site. On the site was industrial rubbish, as I say. he was burning it on site. He caused some smoke and fire to go down onto the A2. So it costs you, the public, time as well. You may remember back in 2022, when the A2 was being closed, all the fires coming from the land above. This was due to this side. He also had peaks on side that got released down onto the A2, again, causing chaos. This is all unacceptable. It's illegal. We took the enforcement. Unfortunately, he only got 6 months suspended for 1 year. And he's got 100 hours probationary work as well to work in the community. That's not enough for the costs he's put us all to, both the highways teams, our enforcement teams, and you, the community. We need better enforcement, we need better regulations, and we need that guidance to the judges so they can work within, improve. And to that end, we're working with the MP, Lauren Sullivan, to make those changes and go forward and make improvements.
Kent Online News.
A business owner in Tenterden fears he'll lose more than £150,000 in revenue as a month-long road closure gets underway. Appledore Road will be shut for the next 4 weeks as part of work linked to a major new housing development. Bosses at Tenterden Garden Centre say it'll severely impact trade and their ability to take deliveries. Developers say the works will be completed as quickly as possible. There are calls for tighter controls on houses of multiple occupation in Maidstone over fears the buildings are a threat to the community. Residents in Queens Road and West Walk have raised concerns about disruptive building works, damage to property and piles of builders' rubbish. Currently, HMOs with six or fewer bedrooms don't require planning permission. Council say they are working to have firmer controls in place by the end of the year. Now, a tenant driven out of his council home in Dymchurch by mould is being chased by local bosses for hundreds of pounds. 39-year-old Nathan Baintree reported the mould to council, but nothing was done until after he moved out. He's now received a bill for more than £600. He's been speaking to reporter Sam Lennon.
Basically, I lived there for a number of years, from 2017 onwards. And post-COVID, I was suffering with damp and mould issues, so which was not being followed up by the council. Despite numerous times of contacting, I left the property last April, to which I then received a bill in February of this year, demanding nearly £600 worth.
When you say last April, you mean April 2025?
Yes, April 25, to move in with my sister.
Because of the conditions?
Yes, yeah, because the mould was going through the property, making myself poorly, because I have an autoimmune disease myself. And when I moved from the property, I couldn't be there for 90% of the moving because of the mould spores in the property. To which a lot of the property had to be destroyed or got rid of.
Okay, so how much were they charging?
Well, they've charged for different bits, because they've charged for medium clearance and for plug sockets and things like that. But the property was already inspected a few months prior to me leaving by a housing officer. So they've come up with charges that we don't think exist.
But what do they add up to?
Nearly £600 plus.
And basically, roughly, in a broad sweep, therefore...
What are they
charging for? You say not repairs, but...
So they're basically trying to charge for something that isn't there. The fact that when I was living in the property, I was going through a small claims with the solicitor to basically for non-action of the mould and rot that was in the property. Mm-hmm. You have to be in the property to make a successful claim. Because I moved out of the property, that claim then stopped immediately, which basically left me exposed. And... they then took it on themselves 11 months later to try and charge me for work that was in the property that should have been done before I even moved out. But this should have been done within the time I was there, and it was also reported that the work should have been done.
As a tenant, isn't it the council? Isn't it the council's job to pay for the repairs anyway themselves?
Yes, yeah. And looking through the report that they've sent, they've tried charging for removal of flooring and, like I say, the plug sockets and everything else, even though an electrical safety test was carried out a few months prior. And it states in the tenancy agreement that the flooring doesn't have to be removed upon exiting the tenancy. Mm. So where they've come up with these charges, we don't know. And like I say, 90% of the property I couldn't even go into and had to be destroyed of because of the mould spores. because it was too high risk for me.
A Folkestone and Hythe District Council spokesperson said they are unable to comment on individual cases, but speaking more broadly, outgoing tenants are required to leave their property in a good condition and may be charged where the council incurs costs to return it to a lettable standard. This can be challenged through their formal complaints procedure.
Kent Online News.
As the summer holidays continue, a Kent food bank has raised concerns about a huge rise in demand from families. It's feared some children could go hungry as the county council are no longer providing vouchers for children on free school meals. Canterbury Food Bank say the number of emergency parcels handed out last month jumped by 30% compared to last year. Lucy's been chatting to David Holt, who's the chair of trustees at Canterbury Food Bank.
Last month, we saw a 30% increase on emergency parcels for children. That's 30% year on year. During that single month, we sent out enough food to make 4,887 meals for children in the Canterbury, Herne Bay and Whitstable districts. The reason it's gone up is that children who previously received £10 a week vouchers to buy food during the school holidays, those are children, vulnerable children, who get free school meals when school is sitting, no longer get those.
And is this something you've raised with Kent County Council?
It's something we've queried with Kent County Council, yes. And we had, when we knew that the change was coming, we had reasonably long discussions with them. But originally, £10 school vouchers were paid from the Household Support Fund. That changed to a new fund. It's a government-backed fund called the Crisis Resilience Fund. The council will tell you that they are no longer allowed, that they're prohibited from spending that money on school or on vouchers for school children during the holidays. The Department of Work and Pensions will tell you that that's not the case and they can continue to spend the money. From our perspective, there's only one reality, and that's that children aren't being fed.
What sort of emotions are you getting from families who are coming in and picking up these food parcels?
Well, we deliver the parcels to schools, and they distributed food parcels before the summer break. And now we deliver them directly to homes now that schools aren't in attendance. Lots of people have been pretty desperate all summer, really. I mean, it makes a big difference. If you've got three children, that's £30 a week. That's £200 over the course of a summer that you no longer have. Now, you can see there isn't a problem. We don't have a problem in systems changing. Yeah, you know, if they need to change something, the reaction to the need for funding constraint shouldn't be to take food from the mouths of children. And the people that voters used to trust to take care of those who are the most vulnerable seem to be handing over the responsibility for that care to food banks.
And are you finding that it's a lot of working families as well that are now at a point where they are struggling over the summer?
A significant number of our clients are working. 25-30% are working. It's just that you find that they're not earning enough. And in our experience, it's not about people overspending. It's not about people that not being able to run a budget. People with the least are very often the best at budgeting because they have to be. I mean, over the last year, we have distributed enough food in the Canterbury district to make 135,000 meals. We do consistently do 10,000 meals plus a month. When I first joined as a trustee 6 years ago, we were doing 2,000.
That's a huge, huge increase. And I suppose, you know, you guys are trying your best to meet that demand, but does it become trickier now and, you know, with people maybe not being able to afford to donate as well?
Yeah, we try to get ahead of the curve and we have publicity campaigns to raise money in advance of what's likely to be a crisis. And we've never reached a point where somebody phones and we say, we haven't got any food for you. But yes, it is tricky. Food's gone up, which means we've got more clients. It means donations are fewer. And we have to buy in our own food. And of course, that's gone up too. So it's a kind of triple whammy that has made things more difficult in the last few years. But it's happening to everyone. I mean, it's happening all around the country. We won't be the only food bank who are distributing more parcels to children this year, because throughout the country, those vouchers have been removed.
They're among the food banks getting some donations from our sister station KMFM's Tons of Tins campaign.
Kent Online News.
Plans to reopen a busy route in Staplehurst following a gas leak have been delayed for a third time. The A229 between Chart Hill Road and Clapper Lane has been shut for 3 weeks. Engineers say damage to the road surface is worse than they thought. It's now due to reopen by next Tuesday. Plans to transform a roof terrace near Margate, put forward by artist Tracy Emin, have raised concerns. The Kent resident bought the abandoned Westbrook Loggia in 2023 and hopes to convert it into a bathers club and restaurant. There's been opposition to her plans to build a wind shelter and seating on the roof. There are also fears it could attract antisocial behaviour. Now, a cancer patient is campaigning for aircon units to be installed at a Kent hospital following weeks of hot weather. Ania Joyles has been having chemotherapy at Darrent Valley in Dartford. She's worried conditions are making treatment harder.
I have been unfortunately diagnosed with breast cancer earlier this year. And my journey has been a little bit of roller coaster. I've started chemotherapy in April this year, the chemotherapy unit at Darrent Valley. And as you can imagine, that was the period where the heat wave started. The ward where I'm going to have my chemotherapy has unfortunately only few fans available in the treatment rooms, and it gets very hot. And for us patients that already have this burden of being ill and then going through the chemotherapy and being seated or treated in a room that is very, very hot, it's not really comfortable, as well as the staff that works tirelessly to make us comfortable as much as they can. So hence, I've decided to do a little fundraiser, and just originally to purchase few funds, and started last Friday, and I just did not expect how amazing response will be. We have over £1,000 over 3 days, and only this morning I have delivered a 5 funds. There's more to come. They're on a back order, that will be distributed across the treatment rooms, but also the funds that will be placed by the nurses' stations, so they feel comfortable working in front of the computers, as well as, you know, they sit down and check what medication you need, etc. So that's how it all started.
How have the nurses and patients received these donations?
Oh, they were extremely happy. They just were on top of the world, because it would just bring them comfort as well. These are the you know, people that work very long shifts, and the pine therapy unit is unfortunately located at the bottom level, which is almost like a basement level. So it gets really hot there. Yes, there's windows. Yes, there's doors. But there is when there's a heat wave, obviously all those have to be shut. To prevent the obviously hot air to get inside. So they were extremely happy. It was just amazing to be able to deliver such a small thing, making such a huge difference.
What's next? Are you going to continue fundraising for more fans, or are you planning to fundraise for something else?
I actually bumped into a lady this morning by the door from Stroke Ward, and they were desperate for funds as well. So I'm hoping to find to raise more funds for these guys as well. But I'm just hoping to get maybe more serious message across, and I'm hoping that that will reach maybe someone from you know, our MP or government, that with the increased heat waves and climate change, this is something that should be provided, the aircon units in the hospital. You cannot have patients that are ill and some severely ill, you know, being also overwhelmed with the heat. It's really not fair. So maybe in the future, that will be something that they will consider to implement in the hospitals.
Hospital bosses say they are grateful and insist they always monitor temperatures while following national hot weather guidance. A former MSD cash and carry site in Chatham could be turned into a gym. Plans have been put forward for the warehouse on an industrial estate in 2nd Avenue in Luton, which has been vacant since 2024. If approved, it would include state-of-the-art equipment, a workout studio and changing and shower rooms. A decision is due by the end of the month.
Kent Online Sports.
Tennis now, and Kent's Emma Raducanu will miss the US Open due to injury. The British number one suffered a stress fracture in her leg in June, which forced her to pull out of Wimbledon the day before the tournament started. The 23-year-old from Orpington recently shared images of her on a tennis court wearing a protective boot. To football now, and Gillingham have signed another new defender just 5 days before the start of the season. Connor McManus is joining from Premier League side Brentford for an undisclosed fee. The 22-year-old says he's energetic and willing to work hard for his new club. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.